This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hi, everyone. Goose. Oh, hello, Goose. Thank you so much for your patience, everyone. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you understanding about not having an episode last weekend. It was a very long weekend, but exciting.
It was. It was very exciting.
Right? Got our friend a new puppy, who I am currently puppy sitting as we record this. Luna is by my feet.
She's so cute, little moon corgi.
She's such a cute little baby. With that being said, we do have a new patron to announce.
Woo!
Y'all know that I like to make sure that we pronounce everyone's names correct. So to our new patron, I am sorry if it's wrong, but Google and YouTube were giving me very conflicting answers as to how to pronounce your name. It's either Aislinn or Ashlinn. But I feel like it's like Aislinn N. Thank you so much for being our new patron. We really appreciate you. And if I butchered your name, please let us know and I'll give you a new shout out.
Absolutely.
But that is definitely, that's like a Gaelic name and I'm here for it and I love it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What yes. Name. So thank you for joining. We hope you like the content. Let us know.
Yes, definitely. And make sure, patrons, that you're in the Facebook group. We shitpost in there.
Yes.
I shitpost in there a decent amount, so.
We've had a few people try to come into the Patrons Only Facebook group who have requested it that are not patrons. Just so you know, there is a public Always the Last to Know Facebook page that we run. It's connected to our Instagram and everything too. So you can always go there and like chat and mingle there. But the Patrons Only Facebook group is only for patrons. So I am sorry when I deny you. I feel bad.
It's not a great feeling.
But it's not a great feeling to deny you. But it's also special for the people who pay us. So, yes. Yeah.
Special little community. Which you can get in for, you know, at any tier.
I was going to say, you could literally get in for our $1 tier.
Yeah.
Like, just a dollar a month.
Yeah.
We made that affordable because we understand that many of us are broke.
Oh, yeah. I'm a $1 patron for a couple of podcasts. Right? Because that's all I can afford.
Yeah.
So I feel.
But I still want to support. There's yes. $1, $5, nope, $1, $3, $5, and $10.
Yes.
You can do the $1 and you'll be able to join the Facebook group.
And we randomly send our patrons mail.
Yeah. Our patrons have received mail from us.
Some random shit. Anyway, that I don't really have anything else to talk about this week if we want to just get into the episode, unless you have.
No, I don't really have much of an update. Our hurricane preparedness event with the Red Cross in town was like really great and we're hoping to do more with them. So
sweet.
That just happened this week. Yeah.
Sick.
But we can get into it.
Word. Today I'm going to be doing a little bit of an all-over update on some past episodes of mine, and we're going to start with media literacy. I feel like this is something that we kind of like, not dance around, but like discuss a lot between both the two of us and on the podcast. We also had a whole episode about disinformation, so I suggest kind of listening to that first to get a little bit of a background.
That was so long ago.
Yes. Today, I want to kind of expand upon that and talk about the grander idea of media literacy. Literacy referring to the ability to read and write, and we're taking this concept and applying it to messages and images that we, the public, see all over the place. So that means that media literacy is the ability to identify different types of media and understand the messages that they're sending. We all take in a huge amount of information from a wide array of sources. And it goes far beyond the traditional media of like TV, radio, newspapers, magazines. It includes text messages, memes, viral videos, social media, video games, advertising, and more. But all media shares one thing. Someone created it, and it was created for a reason. Understanding that reason is the basis of media literacy. People have entire careers whose jobs are to spin things and present things correctly. We as a society know this, but oftentimes don't apply that knowledge to everything that it should be applied to.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go on to discuss examples and such, we need to distinguish between two central concepts: media messages and media effects. FutureLearn.com breaks the two down like this. Media messages, that's the underlying message and intention of the media that's being distributed. It's usually aiming to entertain, persuade, or educate. It's also possible for a media message to have multiple intentions, such as entertaining while being a persuasive advertisement, for example. To put it simply, media is created to serve a purpose, and media messages are the intended information that creators wish to convey to push their goals, whatever that goal is. Media effects, on the other hand, is the measurable effect that occurs as a result of the media message. The type of effect and level of effect is dependent on the media message itself and the audience it's broadcasted to. Mass media can impact an audience's thought, attitude, and behavior, thus often playing a part in shaping modern culture. Such effects can also reinforce existing beliefs, whether for good or bad. The media we consume has the potential to evoke important changes, big or small, because of the media effect. So I feel like, as a whole, we're all pretty aware of how, for example, a conservative news outlet might only cover terrorist attacks to make people afraid. And that same media organization might also use emotional language to make readers feel negatively towards refugees, immigrants, or protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And on the opposite side of the spectrum, political spectrum, we see networks or businesses catering to different communities on a surface level, like making rainbow logos on Instagram. And we all kind of like see what they're doing, and we're all aware of what's going on. But the one thing that we don't really analyze enough are social media posts of the rich and famous, or of the companies and the people they hire to influence an audience or influence trends popularized on the social media apps.
Mm.
So this can be TikTok trends. This can be influencers editing photos. This can be a celebrity dropping a certain piece of information while something else with their reputation is going on. And it's important to kind of stop and break everything down for a second. An example of a dangerous TikTok trend that a lot of people overlooked or just dropped fucking media literacy altogether was that sound that was like, "This boy be in my DMs saying I'm pretty." That is actually a performance poem about the struggles of being loved as a Black woman in a society where people are ashamed to love Black women.
I'm gonna be honest, I had no idea about that, because all I've ever seen it as is a sound that people reuse.
Yeah.
Like the it was clearly co-opted. The original never, I mean, I could have just clicked on it, but I didn't. But you know, no idea.
Because you don't think to do that in mm-hmm. TikTok.
Yeah.
That's not how TikTok is presented. It is almost like destroyed the concept of media literacy
mm-hmm.
because it's removed sounds and images and music from their original context.
Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen before where, God, and forgive me that I can't remember the creator of the song, but it's the one where it's like, "You make me do too much labor all day, yes. every day." Okay. I believe that song and the sound from it somehow got like co-opted by a community that was using it for like anti-trans stuff. I might even be wrong about which sound it is on TikTok, but something similar to that. A group took it and turned it into like anti-trans stuff, and the original creator was like, "Absolutely fucking not," and addressed it. It was like, "Do not be using my shit for that. I don't stand for that." But sometimes you don't get to the point where either the FYP, the algorithm, will show you the original creator either addressing it or just show you the original creator of the sound at all to begin with, and then shit gets co-opted. So it happens.
It happens so easily, especially on TikTok, because it's separated everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made us, it's kind of not made us, it's put less importance on context. things like that, when trends get co-opted by fucking beauty influencers for thirst traps or anti-trans legislation and nonsense, it highlights one of the most important things that we need to ask ourselves when taking in any kind of media. Who made this and why? And with TikTok, sometimes you forget, as, or even Reels or Instagram, sometimes you forget as the audience that the sound and video are not created at the same time. And through thousands of videos, context gets removed. Mm-hmm. And we're all just sort of living in a world where we're kind of okay with that. But it's not okay. And it shouldn't be okay. And it creates really dangerous situations and like unacceptable situations where, like the one that you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Or where songs created by trans artists then get used for some weird Trump thing. And they're like, no, it's not. This song is not for you.
Please, no. No, thank
please
you.
Stop. I know that we always bring up Taylor Swift.
I mean, this is a great example of artist dropping information to distract from some other shitty thing that people are calling her out for.
She's an incredible example of someone who knows how to use the media and our lack of media literacy to her advantage.
I just want to know how much her PR team gets paid. How much does we'll Tree know. Pain make a year?
Millions. Bet.
Right?
So the first example of Taylor Swift that I want to talk about is actually the Folklore Long Pond studio sessions that you can watch on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that that was made?
Like the actual thing itself?
Mm-hmm. Like, how do you think it was filmed?
How do I think it was filmed?
Yeah, the thing on Disney Plus.
I only recently saw that they said that they just set up a camera and it was just the three of them. Like, literally just saw a TikTok about this. But had I not known, like, while they were actually performing, because for anyone who doesn't know and, like, hasn't watched it, half of it is them live performing acoustically the music. The other half of them is, like, talking about the songs. So in my mind, as I'm watching it, yeah, it makes sense that like during some of them talking about it, that they're self-recording it. But when they're playing, it really feels like someone is actually there filming them.
I would even argue the whole thing feels like that.
Right? But I know they added like shake to the camera to make it feel mm-hmm. like that. But I'm like, yeah. Or are you just saying that?
Oh no, they definitely did. If you like, you can you can read and hear about it in interviews. Like they did. They wanted it to seem more authentic and more like a documentary, because when you watch something just on a standstill camera, the audience loses attention. So they very purposefully edited it to make it more interesting that you would never know.
Or was there someone actually there recording them and they just said that that's what they did?
No, there wasn't anyone there for COVID reasons, my dude.
Oh, so I keep forgetting that that was recorded during COVID. I got it because I just recently watched it for the first time ever, like literally 2 months ago. Sometimes I forget when that came out, like the album itself and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is another aspect of media literacy. We're introduced to things not necessarily right when they come out mm-hmm. in a streaming culture. So we in our brains categorize them as it came out at this time. So even though we know that factually, it gets dropped in a streaming world because things are on our time now and they get presented to us in a way that purposefully makes it weird and ambiguous, and it changes the context of everything.
Mm.
Another perfect example is the Miss Americana documentary, air quotes. When watching it, it gives off documentary vibes, mm-hmm. but it's an extended advertisement for Taylor Swift and her perspective. To be a legitimate, unbiased documentary, it would have to include a third party that's in control of the narrative, mm-hmm. not the subject of the documentary itself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make what we see any less real. That's exactly who Taylor wanted to be presented as at the time. But as we've learned recently, that isn't exactly who she is all of the time.
Mm-hmm. She is not the advocate that she promised to us that she would be all of the time.
In that advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
That was very much so, this is the way that I want this story to be presented So I'm going to be in control of that narrative. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that.
Especially for someone who didn't always have control over her work, her life. I can see her now wanting to control everything.
Yeah, that's fair. It's important for us as the audience to be aware of what we're actually watching.
Yeah.
I, for a long time, took Miss Americana as too much of a documentary mm-hmm. and not for the advertisement that it actually is mm-hmm. of buy into me, Taylor Swift, the company.
Yeah.
And as you said before, Taylor is also the queen of dropping pieces of media, new merch or things like that to manipulate where people are looking or what results are coming up on the search engine. And she is not the only one to do this. I talk about this all the time, but John Mulaney purposefully named his new special Baby J, so that when you Google John Mulaney baby, the stuff that comes up is about his new special and not about all of the people who are disgusted with the way that he treated his ex-wife and her want for children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very purposeful move to make.
Absolutely.
Celebrities, the rich, and corporations manipulate a lot of things. From the literal images of themselves that they put out there, to the idea of what you hear when they answer a question in an interview. A reminder that the only questions that are asked are ones that are approved of in advance. And almost 99% of the time, all of the, quote, surprises that we see on television are agreed upon and pre-planned.
Mm-hmm.
There has never actually been a time where Jimmy Fallon has surprised anyone with any question or any segment that has happened on television.
The way that I immediately thought about the video of Taylor after she had her LASIK surgery that he played live on TV, and she was like, oh my God, what is this? And he's like, your mom sent it to me. Bro, that video? There's no way they didn't have her permission before to put that out there.
No, there's absolutely no way.
Because that video is rough.
And why was that put out? Because it makes her look like an everyday girl, TM. One of us.
One of us.
It makes her look relatable. Like she loves bananas. And it's okay. Like it's important to understand why these images are being put in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can apply this to everything. We can talk about the news and understanding why certain words are picked over others.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding why certain words are picked over others is a huge, huge aspect of media literacy. Why was riot used over protest?
Mm-hmm.
Why is white nationalists used over terrorist organizations?
Yes. Before you move on from the first point, riot over protest, I was watching a creator's video. Oh, it's so far deep in my like history, but I will link it because their take on something was extremely important. But it was just a few days ago for the anniversary of Stonewall, and they were like the Stonewall Revolution, and they were like, and it's important that we call it that because that's what it was, because it was the police and the news who called it a riot. It wasn't a riot, it was a revolution. It was people taking back their power in a marginalized community.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that that point, why those words were chosen to give a negative connotation to a marginalized community, thought that was really important. And
absolutely.
Yeah. I'll link their video because 100% it's important to hear more of this conversation, especially from someone in a marginalized community.
Yeah. The words that we use for things are really important. I say this one all the time. Stop calling it child pornography. It's child sexual abuse material. Pornography is a consensually made thing between two adults.
I am so glad you brought that up because I actually hadn't heard that term for it until you said something like a couple days ago. And I was like, holy shit, that makes so much more sense. Because then you're also in our very like sex-averted community, you're then also putting a bad connotation on any kind of pornography that is made consensually.
Yeah. Whereas by definition, porn must be consensual. If it is not, it is sexual abuse material.
Mm-hmm.
So put that in your little noggins. So why am I talking about this now? other than a little recap after the disinformation episode. But I'm talking about this because I wanted to talk about the latest Shein influencer trip.
Oh, yes. In regards
to media literacy and a little fast fashion update.
God, I am so glad that you were talking about this because when I saw that video...
So, a group of influencers are under fire right now because they posted glowing videos from their paid trip to a factory located in China that's owned by Shein. Confidence influencer and model Dani Carbonari was one of the influencers who went on the trip and posted a video tour on her social media, I think it was last week. Quote, "I feel more confident than ever in my partnership with Shein. There are so many companies not taking half the initiative that Shein is. They are aware of every single rumor, and instead of staying quiet, they are fighting with all of their power to not only show us the truth, but to continue to improve and be the best they can possibly be." End quote.
She says at a factory that's not even actually their factory that they actually use to produce the majority of their clothing.
Even if it was, it's one of 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
One of 6,000.
It was their like little influencer storefront factory, not where the actual abuse is happening. Of course, they're not going to show you that.
Literally, you cannot see the difference between the influencer's trip to the Shein factory and Vice's tour, official tour of North Korea. Like, there's no difference. It is just as fucking structured. Like,
bro, you're so right, though.
There was no difference. But taking a look at this statement that she made with some media literacy, some of the word choices that she used are dog whistles and really specific language. They are aware of every single rumor, she calls them.
Mm-hmm.
She calls an investigative journalist from Channel 4 that did a whole fucking series about Shein a rumor. Chalks up all of that to a rumor. Instead of staying quiet, they're fighting with all of their power. These are very concerning phrases that when you hear it, you're like, oh my God, that's amazing, especially combined with these images. But holy shit, when you look at the whole picture, this is terrifying.
Like, tell me you were given a script without telling me you were given a script.
It's like you have my notes. The other influencers, Justine Sudith, Ajin, Fernanda Stephanie Campanzano, Kenya Freeman, and Marina Savdera have also shared similarly glowing Instagram posts about their visits. Viewers have pointed out that the influencers appear to use a script for their posts, as they involved similar language.
Mm-hmm.
In her post, Savidra said, quote, "Like many others, I've heard a lot of misinformation," end quote. Just the fact that she called it misinformation relates to the rumor thing that was said. And Carbonari wrote, quote, "You have to remember our country is filled with so much prejudice. We want to believe we're the best and no one else can do it better," end quote. So now invoking racism. Invoking racism.
We are certainly not the best, and I think a lot of us know that. But holy shit, you are being given a tour of a primmed up factory to make themselves look good. They are not going to take you to where the bulk of the actual shit is happening. Why would they show you that? And you're only visiting one factory out of, what did you say, 6,000?
6,000.
Are you actually fucking kidding me right now? And if you're not getting paid monetarily, you are definitely getting gifts. So I don't believe a word you fucking say.
She said that she wasn't paid, but that the trip and expenses were paid for. So you were fucking flown to China for free.
You were given perks to go there. That's essentially getting paid. You didn't have to pay for that flight. They flew you out there because they had a narrative that they wanted to put across.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Right off the bat, when they were invited to look into a company that pretty much everyone knows is harmful, these influencers should have stopped and tried to have decoded the goal behind this press tour. Twitter Besma, curiously conscious, at BesmaCC said, quote, "The fact Shein even did a press trip with influencers to one of its factories is a red flag. If everything was A-OK, why would they even need to do the trip?"
Yep. Why couldn't you just make a video yourself on your own social media?
Why couldn't the workers just have been like, nah, we're good? Don't worry.
Get some worker testimonials up in here.
It's an important reminder to not only vet who you're getting your information from, but how they got their information.
Mm-hmm.
According to a recent survey in the UK, consumers consider H&M, Nike, Primark, M&S, and Amazon to be the top five most sustainable retailers.
Interesting.
Hello, greenwashing.
Why is Nike on there?
This is because of the marketing that these companies put out to make themselves appear to be more environmentally friendly. Ask yourself, why are they making this commercial instead of making more sustainable products?
Mm-hmm. Because don't we know that Nike abuses people in their shoe factories in China? Or am I like...
No. Those are some of the worst businesses in human slavery, in environmental impact, in all of it. But because of the advertising that they put out, when you ask people who's the best to shop from, those are the companies that they'll list.
Jesus Christ.
Because of our complete lack of media literacy.
I'm so glad that I wasn't just making that up in my head. I was like, no, they're bad.
They're very bad. They're very bad.
I'm sorry I was so obsessed with Nikes in high school.
I know a lot of people who still are.
Right.
Guys, they're bad.
They're bad. I don't buy them anymore. Although, to be honest, I didn't buy them in high school either. Other people did, but that doesn't make it better. That doesn't make it better. Still ask for it.
I'm so sorry. So a little update on some fast fashion stats since our last episode. A diamond study commissioned by the marketplace that had some researchers test 38 samples of children's and adult clothing and accessories mm-hmm. from all over the place.
Are we talking about like chemically tested or?
Tested for everything. Tested the fabrics, tested the chemicals that are on it, just what is up with this stuff.
I'm glad that they did, because I remember several months ago some TikToks about people talking about getting like very strange skin reactions from some of Shein's clothing. Okay.
1 in 5 had concerning levels of chemicals like lead, PFAS, and PFIFATES. Unsurprisingly, one of the worst offenders was Shein.
Not the goddamn PFAS!
The China-based retail, who is the most popular fast fashion retailer in the US, was selling a toddler's jacket with 20 times the amount of lead that Canada's health department deems safe for children.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Zoffel and AliExpress were also found selling garments with high levels of toxic chemicals like pyphthalates.
Oh.
According to a news release, Greenpeace bought 47 products from Shein websites in 5 different countries, as well as a pop-up store in Germany, and sent them all out for third-party testing. Out of the 47 products tested, 7 of them were found to contain hazardous chemicals that were entirely banned in the EU. According to the study, 5 of the products broke limits by 100% or more.
Come on. The EU, they're like Food, Drug Administration, like everything about that are pretty on top of the shit that they allow to be sold in the country. How does this happen? Because it's online. But then even the pop-up store in Germany, like that's, is it because it's a pop-up store that they were allowed to get around to these regulations? Like where is the disconnect here? Because that should not be allowed to be sold in the country.
One of the products tested, according to Greenpeace, was a children's tutu dress. According to the report, the lab found formaldehyde in the dress at 130 milligrams per kilogram in the purple tulle, which exceeds the allowed amount under EU regulations. Just a reminder that just because something passed safety standards doesn't mean that safety standards are where they should be. Just gonna throw that out there.
Just gonna bring that back from our last conversation about cars and put it into this fucking topic. Because it's necessary.
Yes. The fast fashion market is expected to grow $122.98 billion in this year alone, in 2023.
Thanks, I hate it.
Just this year. Everything that we talked about in last year's episode is essentially worse. And now, many of today's leading fast fashion companies like H&M and Zara are turning to artificial intelligence to help them predict tomorrow's trends and stay ahead of the curb.
Yawn.
It's all connected, manifest style, baby. AI is back, and there is so much to talk about. Since we last talked about AI, it has found its way into fucking everything. It's making artwork. It's replying like a human in real-time chat. It's creating long-form text documents. And it is fucking with the television industry in a way that is just devastating. Several tech industry leaders recently signed an open letter in late March of 2023 suggesting a pause to all giant AI experiments larger than GPT-4 for 6 months.
I think that's pretty smart.
I agree.
Maybe let's do more research on it before you keep putting it out to the public.
I absolutely agree. The letter maintains that, quote, powerful AI systems should be developed only once we are confident that their effects will be positive and their risks manageable, end quote. Powerful tech names like Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google, Tom Gruber, who helped design Siri, and Elon Musk are some of the names who signed this letter. Can we just fucking talk about this for a second, though? Who the fuck are these dudes to say jack shit about AI systems?
I'm also like, I was okay with the other ones. I'm like, yes, maybe you realize the issues at hand. And then we got to fucking Elon Musk, and I am just shocked. Shocked that he put his name on that.
Dude, Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google, can go fuck himself. He is one of the reason that Google has every fucking piece of information about all of us out there.
Yep.
Like, none of these motherfuckers are any better than Elon Musk. And they're all like, oh, you know what? You guys need to stop this AI. No, bitches. You all started this.
I also love
you
how it's like
this.
All the former people of these companies, like, they're no longer there. Or are you sad because you're not a part of it anymore?
Y'all got too fucking old. Gen Z took over, and now you're pissed because you're obsolete on a train that you built and started. You started this. What? I'm like, so I got so angry when I saw the names on there. I was like, no, don't fucking sign this like you're all high and mighty. You created this problem for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is your fault.
You did this.
So let's talk about this for a second with some fucking media literacy. When we first did this episode in 2022, there were only 3 deaths that were linked directly to Tesla's autopilot. The most recent data shows at least 17 fatal incidents, 11 of them since May of last year, and 5 serious injuries, with a total of 736 accidents that are just attributed to autopilot alone since 2019.
No autopilot unless there's autopilot for everyone.
The issue is that we are programming artificial intelligence with our stupid human bias. We are not almighty and, like, solid enough to be teaching other and creating life unbiasedly. Like, what? I saw Elon Musk and I got so fucking mad. I got, like, so irrationally angry, and it's like listing all of these people, and I was like, no, you guys fucking did this. You can't just sit here and, like, sign this thing now as if you're, you know, all cool and awake as to what's going on. Like, fuck you guys.
As if you're not the entirety of the problem.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The other thing that I wanted to mention in my AI update is something that you pointed out to me, which is Microsoft achieves the first step in quantum computer, building a quantum computer. I think it's stupid. I think that they're being irresponsible and they need to fucking stop. They've been working on this for, like, I think a little over a decade now, and I think that they're just too stubborn to stop, but they should. I think this is really fucking stupid because people are forgetting that if we're trying to save the planet, humans are the most dangerous part, and computers are gonna know that. So maybe stop what you're doing.
Are we gonna tell the computers as we're programming them that we're the problem? Are we? Because if we're not, let's not do that.
Well, the thing is that they're going to figure it out regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some really interesting examples. We fed a skin cancer scanning AI thing where it could, like, look at images of something and know if it was cancer or not. We fed it just all of them that we could. And then we started using it. We were, like, testing it, and it was, like, working out pretty well. But if there was a ruler in the image, it decided it was malignant. It'd be more likely to decide that it was malignant because in the testing training images of malignant tumors, they all have rulers measuring the size of the tumor in there versus non-malignant tumors that don't get pictured with the size recorded because they don't fucking care because it's not cancer. So after looking at tens of thousands of images like that, it decided that if there's a ruler, it's probably cancer.
Oh, shit.
Because that's how computers work. They're not fucking human. So they couldn't understand why they're getting so many malignant tumor hits. It's because there's a fucking ruler in the picture. So AI decided it's cancer. Wow. And that happens so much. The way that it happens is absolutely insane. We're talking about hiring companies where you'll feed them old resumes of people. Mm-hmm. And their performance notes. And then you feed them new resumes of potential hires. And they'll be like, who's going to be great? One company found that an AI realized that the most, you know, the most reoccurring thing between the best hires in their company's history was that their name was Jared and they played lacrosse. That was the most common thing on all of the resumes of their best people in all of history.
Cool. College bros.
Because they based it on the history of a fucking whitewashed, male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. Like, and computers aren't going to pick up on that unless we tell them to. Mm-hmm. So this is going to become a really big issue as companies start relying on AI to initially glance over people's resumes before they get sent off to a human. Nothing has changed since our last episode. Things are just getting worse. So
the only change is worse.
Yeah, there's nothing has gotten better on any of these three subjects. Our media literacy is an all-time fucking low.
Yikes.
Fast fashion is horrible and AI is going to take over. So that's where we're at with those. And I'll give you guys an update on some other episodes later. Hopefully they're better.
Wow. Thanks, Katie. Jesus.
Happy 4th of July.
Forgot that was coming up. Happy holiday.
Yep. All right. Bye.
Thanks. You're like, that's it. I'm done. I'm over
it. That's it. Doing this research sucked. I was hoping for some fucking good thing. I really looked and I couldn't find anything. So, sorry.
No good things.
No good things. Sorry, y'all.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.